Happy New Year. The end of one year and the beginning of a new year give us a time, an opportunity to pause and really look at our lives and to think about who we were in 2017 and who we want to be in 2018. Yesterday, I had quite a bit of quiet time, and so I felt that maybe it would be a good idea to post on Facebook that I was available to pray for people, especially with the new year coming. People could just write in, and I would pray for whatever they wanted. It was eye-opening. A lot of people wrote in. Their prayers were very similar. Praying for loved ones who were struggling or suffering. Praying for health. Praying for safety. Praying for peace in the world. Praying for civility in our government. Praying that 2018 might be the beginning of something new, something better, a spark of hope. It was as if by simply offering to people the fact that I could pray, they began to think and reflect and look at their lives. There was so much wisdom. So much hope. As I look back on 2017, one of the things that I remember most happened on August 21st. What was that thing? Anybody remember? August 21st of 2017. What were we all getting ready to see? The eclipse! How many of you bought weird, funky glasses? How many of you traveled up north to try to see it better? Anybody? Yep. And for all of us who stayed here, it was a big disappointment. Because why? The clouds. We couldn't see. The light couldn't shine through because of the clouds. What I want to talk to you today is about the light of Christ. As we think about the new year, I want us to zone in on this beautiful hymn from the Gospel of John, what people call the Logos hymn. Logos means word. In the beginning was the word. For years, I've meditated on that thing, the word of God. But if you notice, the hymn says that God is light a lot more than it says that God is the word. In fact, Christ is called light over and over and over again. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. John came to testify to the light. He was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light was coming into the world. For John, Christ was best referred to as light. But what does that really mean? Well, first of all, if we had no light in this world, where would we be? Dead, blind if we were alive, which we wouldn't be. We need light. It is the beginning of all things for us. Without it, we do not survive. When we all put on those glasses and looked up at the eclipse, we all wanted to see this incredible display of light, right? But we couldn't see it because there were so many clouds clouding over our view. I want to suggest that Christ is light, and through Christ and with Christ, we are able to see the world in its truth and able to see ourselves as well. But what often happens is that we manage to cloud over our vision in many different ways, through our busyness, our distraction, our grief, our pain, our sorrow. And oftentimes, we cannot see God's light. Do you remember the great quote of C.S. Lewis, the theologian, one of the most brilliant men? He wrote, "I believe in Christianity as I believe in the rising of the sun. Not just because I can see it, but because by it I see everything else. I believe in Christianity as I believe in the rising of the sun, not just because I can see it, but by it I see everything else." In other words, if we believe in Christ, it enables us to see everything more clearly, the world and ourselves. In Las Vegas, there are some very famous bathrooms. I haven't been to them, but I've read about them. Evidently, they're on the top of a casino somewhere in Las Vegas. And the reason why these bathrooms are famous is because they have glass doors, which is so not private. It's really gross, right? But the thing is, when you walk into the bathroom, the glass door automatically clouds over and becomes opaque. So while a person is in the bathroom, the glass door is opaque, and then when they come back out again, it becomes transparent. That's kind of cool. You just hope it works when you're in there. What happens to most of us in our lives is that we go inside of ourselves. And like walking into that fancy bathroom, when you walk too far into yourself and become self-absorbed, the doors to seeing the rest of the world become opaque. It is very easy for us to become so absorbed in ourselves, in our worries and concerns, that we no longer really want to see what's going on in the world. And we no longer really want to look at ourselves either. I don't know about you, but there are times where I feel so overwhelmed by the world that I can't really watch the news for long periods of time. I just want to shut it off. I want to worry about whether I should have macaroni and cheese for dinner or spaghetti. I want to worry about whether I've changed the sheets on my bed, not whether people are dying in Somalia or not. That's too much. So sometimes I'll just cloud it over and not look. It's a way of self-preservation. And then sometimes I also don't really want to look at myself. I mean, I come to the end of the year and I don't really want to think about the stuff I did wrong in 2017. The words I said that I shouldn't have said, the mistakes that I made, it's too hard. So I just get busy again. Try to just move forward. Keep on moving, as they say. But the problem is, when we do this, we are not fully being the children of God that Christ intended for us to be. When you look at something, you shine the light of Christ on that thing. Did you know that physicists tell us that when we observe something, we actually change it through the light of our observation? Isn't that amazing? When you give someone your undivided attention, when you really look at them, you make a difference in their life. But so much of the time, we don't really give each other our full and undivided attention. Why do you think that all those advertisements on your iPhone are always trying to get you to look at them? Because you looking has power. When you look at something, you shine the light of Christ onto that thing. No wonder they're paying millions of bucks to try to get you to look. Your attention is important. Your attention makes a difference. And when you give someone your undivided attention, you are shining the light of Christ on them. You are praying for them. God is there. But we get so busy and so ashamed that we just keep running and everything clouds over. In one of my former parishes, there was this wonderful woman named Louise. She was one of the hardest working women I've ever known. Just poured herself into her job, always trying to help people, volunteering, working in the church. Just an incredible person. But she wanted to be married. And every time she got into a relationship with a man, she found that she couldn't make it last. And she tried so hard. She would try and try to please the man she was with, try to become what he wanted her to be, try to serve his every need, but he always seemed to just take off. So she came to see me and told me all this, and we prayed about it. We did two things, which often are good to go together. I told her, let's tackle it in two ways. We'll pray and you'll do therapy. I believe in both. And she said, oh, I can't do therapy. I don't need to do that. And I said, wait a minute. You just told me that you can't seem to have a successful relationship and you want to. Sounds like you need therapy. Oh, no, 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 no. I don't want to talk about my life. Well, we had to go through this for a while because she thought the therapist would be bored. She thought the therapist wouldn't like her. I kept reminding her she's going to be paying the guy. She kept worrying that he was going to leave, and I kept saying, you're paying him. I finally convinced her to go, and I thought it was important that she see a man. And sure enough, she was so uncomfortable the first time she went in that office. She came to me and said, Katie just kept looking at me. I said, yeah, what else is he going to look at? She kept saying, I didn't know what he wanted me to say. And I said, that's not the point. Let him see who you really are. Don't be afraid. Let him look at you. At your whole life, not just what's working, let him see what's not working. How else will God be able to work with you? God cannot work with you if you keep hiding. Slowly, gradually, she began to trust this therapist and to tell him about herself. Not what he wanted to hear, but who she really was. She told him about the fact that when she was 7 years old, her father just left her and her mother, and she always thought it was her fault, that she did something wrong. She thought that if she had pleased him enough, he wouldn't have left. But the problem was she tried so hard to please everybody that none of the men she was with ever really knew who she was. They couldn't see her. By doing, 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 and being busy and trying to please, she had clouded over her true self. It took her so much courage to let him see her, really see her. But when she did that, that was when she started to get well. And she's been married now for 10 years. You know, I think because we're afraid to look at ourselves, that's why it's so hard, especially in this day and age, for us to sit still with God. One of the New Year's resolutions you could have is simply this: trying to sit with God or pray for working towards 20 minutes a day. Even if you start with 5 or 3, that's better than nothing. But if you could just put aside some time where you look at God and God looks at you, it will change everything. But the problem is, most of us, when we try to put aside this time to see God and to have God see us, most of us come up with all kinds of excuses why it's not going to work out that particular day. I do it. Oh my goodness, I go through mental gymnastics. I've learned mostly to overcome them now, but they still surprise me from time to time. And then when you actually sit down, well, when you sit down, you have to look at your own mind. You see your thoughts. And I don't know about you, but I have some pretty weird thoughts sometimes. I don't like to look at them. But my friends, looking at your mind is like being an air traffic control person, and your mind are the airplane, your thoughts are the airplanes, right? You watch them, but you can decide which ones land. You can decide which ones have purchase in your life. You can decide if you want to spend your life worrying about your weight or whether you want to do something more productive. It's up to you. But first, you have to have the courage to look. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus did not hide. When he appeared, he showed people his wounds. He showed them his brokenness. And that was where the transformation happened. When you allow the light of Christ to shine upon you, the real you, not the polished, perfect, I'm great one, the other one. That's when transformation happens. I really believe that we as Christians, simply our ability to look at another human being and give them our attention has immense value. And we know the end of the story, right? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't overcome it. So we don't have to be afraid to look at the news. I know it seems horrible and dark. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. So don't be afraid to look. Don't be afraid to watch. Don't be afraid to pray for everything, all the time. And don't be afraid to sit still. Let the clouds part and see the light of Christ shining upon you and from within you out into the world. Amen.